May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a confession to make. That in fact I've changed the gospel for today, which was actually all about sending out the 70 from St. Luke. And I changed it back to the gospel for St. Thomas Day, which was actually, for those of you who don't know and those of you who do, it was Wednesday. It was St. Thomas's Day on Wednesday. And I was very fascinated. I was actually doing a service in the church where we are now, a weekday service. And I was fascinated by that particular story about Thomas. Thomas, as we all know, picked up a nickname. He was called Doubting Thomas. Well, I'm not sure he was in his own day, but certainly he's been called Doubting Thomas ever since that particular passage that we read today. And it's a passage about trust and faith, in a way. And that's what I want to explore with you for a little while. But first of all, to think about nicknames. If you're anything like me, nicknames can be a blessing or a curse. I must confess, I was at a boys' school, and the boys were not very kind with their nicknames on the whole. They picked out some particular characteristic of yours, whether it was a good one or a bad one, it didn't matter. And you ended up with a nickname connected with that. I have to confess, now I'm very old, I don't mind confessing, one of my nicknames, the main nickname, was Warthog. And you think, how on earth did I get a nickname Warthog? But in fact, I had two or three warts on my hand, and they picked it up, or my mates, so-called, picked it up, and I became Warthog. My younger brother, who came to the same school, was far, far luckier than me, because with a surname Partridge, he became Birdie for the rest of his life. Actually, in adult life as well, he was always Birdie, and he was a very committed to Kettering Rugby Club. And when they put up a new veranda in memory of him, it's to Birdie Partridge. So his name is passed on, his nickname. But Stephen will tell you that he had one of his friends, I know, was known as Mumble. I've no idea why he was known as Mumble. You'll have to ask Stephen that. I haven't a clue, and I haven't a clue what his real name was, because Stephen only ever talked about Mumble doing this and Mumble doing that. So my wife's frowning, thinking she must remember his real name, but she can't. She can't at the moment. So a nickname can be defining who you are, what you're like, or just some physical characteristic, perhaps, that you remember. And you'll all think back, some of you to your own nicknames that you've managed to keep hidden ever since, some of you to the kind of names that you were quite proud to bear as they spoke about something particularly good that you'd achieved or something particularly good that had happened in your life. So poor Thomas picked up, well, his original nickname, it sounds as though it was Didymus, meaning twin. And that must be quite annoying as well if you're a twin, to be only known as, oh, you're one of the twins, as if you haven't got a distinction of your own. I don't know if any of you are twins. You'll have to tell me afterwards whether that worked or whether it didn't. But Thomas had been known as the twin. And it was only after this particular story that we, later in Thomas's life, well, long after his death, called him Doubting Thomas. But in fact, that wasn't, as it were, as difficult a nickname as we might possibly think it is. Because he was doing something that was utterly natural and utterly part of exploring life around you. But utterly part of faith. Because, of course, people mix up faith with certainty and think that somehow certainty is the only kind of faith. And Thomas, I think, demonstrates beautifully the wrongness of this concept, that actually faith requires questioning. It requires asking and sometimes challenging God as to what on earth is going on, what on earth is happening, and why is it happening like that. Challenge, doubt, if you like, question certainly, is all part of a real faith, a faith which has gone deeper than just the surface. So Thomas was doing something that was so right that he certainly doesn't deserve the nickname doubting. He really needs deserving the nickname of discovering faith and showing how faith is discovered. But what made the difference to Thomas? He'd said, because he wasn't there when they met and Jesus came and appeared to them in one of his resurrection appearances, he wasn't there, and when he got told the story, he really said, pull the other one, it's got bells on. You know, he didn't believe a word of it. He didn't know why they were telling him these, what were obviously for him, impossibilities, things that couldn't happen. But he said, no, I've got to experience it for myself. And in fact, he sort of went into gory details about thrusting his hand in his side and touching the marks on his hands and so on. But that's just, well, we do exaggerate when we're trying to make a point, don't we? So even preachers do as well, so beware. But he was, as it were, expressing a very appropriate reaction to the stories they were telling. I can't believe it. I shall have to experience it for myself, the reality of it, before I can really go along with you. But, and I think it's an enormous big but that we easily forget, what Thomas did though was not to reject the people who told him these stories about seeing Jesus. He wasn't rejecting them. He stayed as part of their fellowship. He was just saying, I can't believe what you're saying. And so he was with them next time they met. That, I think, is such an important part of the whole. That he was with them. There he was. He hadn't rejected them. He hadn't said, well, I'm not going to join you lot until you have sense knocked into you, etc. He didn't reject them. He was part of that community. And although he didn't understand and he couldn't fathom out what was going on, he remained faithful to that gathering, that community that had followed Jesus and was part of his gang, as you might say. And that was what saved him, in a sense. That was where his faith was saved. Not by something that was said, but by remaining part of that community. It was brought out beautifully some years ago when they brought out the first sort of revision of the prayer book, not the old 1928 one, but when they began to get series 1 and series 2 and so on. And one of the things that was picked up was that they changed the opening word of the creed. You who come to this service will say, I know what the creed begins with. It begins with, we believe. But if you come to the 8 o'clock service, you will find that the creed in the prayer book begins, I believe. And there's a subtle difference in the whole concept of it. One is saying, right, this is an individual faith. I believe. And of course the problem is that you may well find that having said I believe, you begin to be a bit doubtful about saying some of the rest. Some may actually not be quite what you would want to say or how you would want to put it. But, now we shall say in this service, we believe. Not that each individual aspect of that creed is part of our faith, but that we are sharing a faith that has different aspects, different bits, different directions, but nevertheless, it is part of our faith community. The community goes with faith. That you can't have faith on your own. Faith is part of the belonging, the community. And that each of our own individual faiths put into that pool of faith that belongs to the community to which we belong. That is faith. So each of us will have our own questions, our own uncertainties, our own not quite sure about that, not quite sure how that belongs, etc. And that's fine. Because we bring that as a group, as a community, to the whole. So that we can say quite happily, we believe in one God and so on. And say the creed, knowing that we're saying not, this is what I individually have worked out for myself, but this is what this community to which I belong holds on to. And that, I think, is something to bear in mind when other people begin to say, what do you believe? And you say, well, if you put it as an individually you, the singular you, okay, I can tell you what I believe. But if you want to really understand what faith is about, you need to join a community where they will say, we believe, and they will share an enormous variety of different angles that people have met God in their different ways. And only together will you begin to get the breadth and the wonderful breadth of what faith can mean. And also that you can bring your questions, your lack of understanding into that community, and it will be part of the faith of that community. So that's why we come and worship Sunday by Sunday, to express our belonging to one another, to say we are members of the body of Christ. Oh, we have all sorts of different functions and all sorts of different questions that we would want to ask, but we belong. As the famous saying used to be when they talked about mission, they would say very often, three words that come are first belonging, making people feel at home, part of the community, not asking things of them to say, well, this is the qualifying, you can only be part of the community if, but simply say, come, join us, belonging, and then eventually perhaps believing will become something which is part two of our journey of faith. But our journey of faith, not as an individual, but as part of the whole community. May God bless all of you in your very different journeys of faith, and yet all part of this congregation's community of faith, as we seek to minister to those who are around us. Amen. Amen.